music from 2 a.m. Introducing with Tom Robinson. At midnight, Don Letts. Right now, it's Guy Garvey's finest hour.
Who put Garvey on the air?
The B, Belly BC. That's who.
Thank you. Get your mate to go into a pub ahead of you and put that tune on for when you come in. You look great. My brother did something similar with sexual healing one morning when he was bringing his missus breakfast in bed, lined it up on the CD player and took the remote with him. Genius. That was Spindrift and Speak to the Wind from an album called The Legend of God's Gun, which was written with the concept in mind that it was a soundtrack to a Western that didn't exist. Then somebody ruined that by making the Western to fit the music. Still, I like the idea that it was that way round. I should introduce myself. I'm Guy Garvey, lead singer of Elbow, and this could be my finest hour. Welcome to New York, everybody. I've been here for some weeks now, and the last few shows I've been doing something interesting, a different way of finding guests for the finest hour. I decided the first person I spoke to would be the first person to smile at me on the street here in New York City. And the first guy that smiled at me was a guy called Dan Heesman. Turns out Dan was a Brit, and he smiled at me because he knows the band, he knows Elbow. Dan put me on to his cousin Errol, who is also a lovely man, and later showed off some amazing dancing skills in a whiskey bar. Errol put me on to Zach from Beirut, who was my guest last week, and Zach put me on to the wonderful Alma Harel, who is my guest this week. She's an Israeli filmmaker and pop video maker. She's broken three of her vertebrae, and she's in a neck cast and a body brace, but she spoke to me anyway, and I made an interview, which I'll play for you in a few minutes. And yeah, I'll tell you what I've been up to this week while I've been in New York City, including going to see Everything the other night. The boys were coming through town, so a bunch of us, including Errol and Dan and his wife Rana, a bunch of us went to see them at the Brooklyn Bowl, which is not like the Hollywood Bowl. The Brooklyn Bowl is a bowling alley. The boys are doing so well out here that they sold out the New York show and had to add an extra date. And you quite often find in America that they put venues in bowling alleys. There's another famous one in Detroit. And it was a great atmosphere. A wonderful gig. And the boys on top form. And we managed to hang out as well a little bit. Anyway, here they are with Torso of the Week from their latest record, Arc. It is the wonderful Everything. Everything, Everything and Torso of the Week. Great things ahead for those boys. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. They tweeted a picture of them on Sunday afternoon, sat rehearsing in the hotel room with headphones on and keyboards and drum pads and things. And I retweeted it to the boys in Elbow saying, look at these chaps putting us to shame with their work ethic. So they deserve every success, those guys. Thank you very much for dropping in as well. So I also went to the Rose Room at the New York Public Library. You will have seen this reading room. It's been in a few films, and it's a beautiful place. I went there to try and finish an Elbow song, but just ended up emailing my family that I was in the room. It's an amazing place. And I said to Emma Jane, my true love, can you think of any songs involving books which will give me an excuse to show off that I sat in the Rose Room for half an hour? And she said, what about that lovely one, Day by Day by Sizer Barker? And I absolutely love that tune. So here it is.
Vows in the setting sun, day by day.
Isn't that great? Sizer Barker and Day by Day. I, of course, got to email friendly at least with Dave from Sizer Barker, who went on to become Table. I wonder what Dave's doing recently. I wonder if he's made any music of late. Get in touch, Dave, if you're listening.
Six Music.
Sean W. Keaveney. A man misunderstood.
Is it okay to dry your underpants in the microwave?
Maybe he's too intense.
A bit aggressive.
I know. I'm on a crash after my croissant. I'm taking it out on you.
Maybe it's his clothes.
My hood's too hairy.
Or his uncompromising charm.
With 10 being like the most I'd want to punch someone, you right now would be at maybe like a 5.
That's not bad.
He has his own theories.
I blame Brett.
But you can make a difference. Listen to Sean Keaveney on Six Music and he will feel useful, appreciated. The Sean Keaveney Breakfast Show.
Is this cool?
Every weekday morning on BBC Radio 6 Music.
Guy Garvey, the right side of the celestial equator.
So we're going to hear Nant from Beirut from their album The Flying Club Cup, and it's also from Bombay Beach, which is the film made by Alma Harrell, who's my guest this week on the programme. I went to her apartment uptown in New York. Very beautiful view from her apartment, and she's a lovely lady. She's seriously injured in a back brace and a neck brace, and because of that she had to recline on a leather chair throughout the interview. So apologies if she's a little bit quiet at times. I'm sure my amazing BBC engineers will sort it out though. But before that, yeah, let's have a listen to this tune from Beirut, which is on the soundtrack from Bombay Beach, her award-winning docudrama.
It's been a long time now since I've seen you smile, and I'll gamble away my fright, and I'll gamble away my time, and in a so simple.
so I've come uptown. I've come to the home of Alma Harrell, which is the latest link in the chain of interviewees. The kindness of these people is unbelievable. So I started with Dan. Dan was the first guy to smile at me on the street in New York. Dan put me on to his cousin Errol, who I revealed to you last week I saw do the splits in a real live New York dance-off. That was interesting. He put me on to Zach from Beirut, and that was last week's interview. And Zach has put me on to Alma, who I'm very happy to say sat next to me. Hello.
Hello. Guy.
So when you open the door to me here in your apartment, you're in a back brace and a neck brace.
That's
true. This is extraordinarily kind of you to give me some time when you're obviously in so much discomfort. Just very briefly, because I know we've already discussed it, but what did you do?
I was on the roller coaster of Coney Island and it collapsed. And I just dropped down to another cart and then flew over, found myself lying on my back. No, I just went to get coffee and fell on my back on ice.
No, Alma isn't a big person. She's not a big person. I mean, when I fall over, it's like a redwood going over. But you managed to break three vertebrae.
I did. I cracked three vertebrae, which I hope are healing right now as we speak. I heard it's really interesting because I'm making a film right now, a documentary, and a third of it is taking place in Alaska. And the person I'm making the film about in Alaska is actually three couples, but the couple in Alaska, the guy I'm making the film about, has a very rare genetic bone disorder called osteogenesis imperfecta. And what it does is that you are born with bones that are like glass. So if you break them, they shatter. And I've been following him for a long time. I've been to Alaska twice, and this time when I came to visit him, his stepfather is his doctor, and I've been to their place and heard about all these things that happened to him. He broke his bones over 200 times.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so here I am coming to film, and before I even start working or even start my filming, I was just still kind of on a visit. I was just, the first day I got there, I fell and broke my spine.
What are the chances? That's just incredible.
And ended up being treated by his stepfather, who I've been filming, and getting injected with something that I've been filming him using. It's been such a trip.
That is so strange. Like, there's a weird convergence of circumstances there. There's some real coincidence going on there, isn't there?
I think the strangest thing that happened to me, though, ever since I cracked my back, is that after I flew back to New York and ended up in ER, recuperated, then was on my way to the hospital again to do some tests, and got rear-ended by a car and involved in a car accident a few days ago. So I'm like bad karma voodoo right now. You're in danger right now, sir.
Well, no, let's think about it this way. You've had it all at once.
Yes.
So you're going to, you know, you're just blessed for the next 100 years.
Oh, my God, I'm clean. I got my karma plate clean. I'm going to have a really good year.
I think you are. Just to give you a little bit of background on Alma, you were born in Israel. And you moved to New York how long ago?
I lived in New York once when I was 18 for 2 years, and this time around I moved to the U.S. about 7 years ago from Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually moved to L.A. I live in L.A. most of the time.
Right. So Alma is a filmmaker, pop videos and music videos, and also recently, well, last year, no, 2011, your film Bombay Beach won the Best Documentary Feature Award at the Tribeca Film Festival. Congratulations. Also, Alma knows Zach because they've worked together on... Am I right in saying that you've made all of the Beirut videos?
It was like that until a year or two ago, but now he's done 2 or 3 new music videos that I wasn't involved in, and they're beautiful. I love them. I can't remember who directed them, but I did the first, I would say the first four or five, I think.
They really are beautiful films.
Thank you.
They really are. You started as a VJ.
I did.
You started...
You've done your homework.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow.
So you started really on the live side of things, and looking at the intricacy and the detail and the technical sort of production of your videos, it's hard to believe that you... Am I right in thinking that you didn't go to film school?
Yeah, I never went to film school, no.
Actually, that stuns me. That's amazing.
You know, I am not one of those, like, filmmakers that grew up in a cinema and spent their whole life wanting to be a filmmaker. I'm really not... I never look back at my life and think... I never, you know, knew I wanted to be a film director. I never... I just wanted to have adventures, you know? I just wanted to... And I really discovered, as I grew older, my love for visuals and all that stuff. But I don't know, I remember... I guess the first thing I do remember as being a kid is I remember just writing little plays at school and doing them with... And really forcing some of the kids to be in them, and usually it would be like one guy that has a crush on me and agreed to be in it, and just one friend, and then one really, you know, unpopular kid that was just bored and was happy to help, or I don't know, like, just it was really kind of a mixture of people, and I was just kind of tried to do all these little plays at school, I think.
In terms of that, I used to do a similar thing. I used to I used to make plays for me and my little brother to perform. And I also, when I've got five sisters, I'm from quite a big family. And when one of my sisters went away to France when I was a kid, we used to send her tapes, and I would record me and my brother doing sketches in between songs that we put on there for her.
Would you do the songs too, or was it other songs and you did the sketches?
I used to sing over existing pop songs. I was probably about 8 or 9. There was a song.
Do you still have them?
Do you know, we do have a couple of them, yeah. In fact, I should dig them out for my programme.
Treasure.
We've got one where I changed the lyrics to "We Built This City on Rock and Roll" by Jefferson Starship.
Let's do a music video for that with your voiceover. Starring Errol doing a dance-off.
Perfect. Errol doing the splits. Any excuse to see that again. Movement... It sounds crazy. You're in a
movement
back brace.
Movement is very important to me.
This is it. Movement is very important to you. There's a lot of dancing in your work.
Yeah.
So have you any sort of formal training where dancing is concerned?
No. You know, I went to, when I was very little, I went to a ballet classes. You know, just like every other average little girl that wants to wear those tutu skirts and be a ballerina. Mm-hmm. And I
are you aware that you pointed your toe as you said that?
I did. Wow, that's good. That's good. What do you
reflexes.
Call that? Sense memory. What do you call that? But I did, and I told this story before, but it's kind of like a defining thing for me. But I was in that class and I was really into it, but I felt my limitation as a dancer. And I was probably 6 or 7 years old, but I knew, I felt it. I don't even know if I was 6. I doubt I was even 6. I don't know how old I was, but I knew I'm not gonna be the dancer I wanna be. And I watched this movie, this documentary on TV about these dancers, and they said that certain dancers don't have the right kind of muscles, mm-hmm. and they're not elongated enough. Anyway, it kind of blew my mind, and I realized that I decided at that point, not knowing about modern dance, which doesn't require the same physique as ballet dancing, mm-hmm. but I was just like, okay, I'm not going to be a dancer. And I went and confronted my ballet teacher and all the girls in the class and said, do you know that not all of us can be dancers? And there was a lot of crying, and it was like a scene and a half, and then I left, and I never came back. And it was really like a defining moment for me, but I've never stopped loving dance. And
So within that, is there a tune we could play now, something from that time?
I met this girl in Tel Aviv named Rona Kenan. Rona Kenan, and she just became my soulmate till this day. She's my, I think, beloved more than I can ever love. And she is a beautiful singer, and she at the time was 19 and was singing in all these smoky clubs in Tel Aviv, and I used to come and listen to her and cry. and this is a beautiful song she wrote that has a line in it that always stayed with me, saying, this is not the end, but it's certainly not a beginning.
You and you and you and you and you again. There's really nothing more to be said. I sit on the edge of this morning and wait for you. Can you picture it? I sit on the edge of this morning and I wait. Picture it. I sit on the edge of one bed or another, no difference to me. Edges of bed seem to play a very big role in my life. You and your big blue eyes have gone to sleep without saying goodnight. No lullabies, no evening gowns, no midnight drinks. This is not the end, but it's certainly not a beginning. And sometimes I wish that you talk more often than you do. You can even try whispering something familiar into my ear. Maybe a tune, it's more like a siren. Or maybe just this is not the end. I want you to tell me, let's eat the moon with two coffee spoons, but you never do. I want you to ask me to love you as long as I love, and I always do. Instead you just say, oh, why won't you let me go? I'm so tired. This is not the end, but it's certainly not a beginning. And sometimes I wish that you talk more often than you do. You can even try whispering something familiar into my ear. Maybe a tune, it's more like a siren. Or maybe just this is not the end. I wonder, do you wait for the same? When you look at me, look at you, do you wait for the same? Are you longing to see your reflection in someone else's eyes? And did your heart stop beating for me?
With Alma Harrell in her apartment in New York, night has fallen. Outside there's some beautiful twinkling going on in all the buildings, and Like everybody who sets foot on this island, I feel like I belong here.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I remember the first time I came here, I felt like that. Now I don't feel like that so much, but I remember the first time I came here. There's two things about New York that you said now that are very true to me too. Like, the first of all, you feel at home right away, especially because of the ease of navigation and the fact that I think there's such a culture of street and life everywhere, and something to feel like you belong to. And but yeah, the curiosity of seeing all these buildings and all these windows and all these people and all these faces, and and knowing that everybody has a story.
Tell me about your upbringing. Where was art in the scheme of things?
There was no art.
No.
I grew up in Tel Aviv, and nobody in my family was an artist.
Was there anybody way back in your family? Did you ever hear of relatives that were musical or artistic or anything like that?
Nobody. My grandmother worked at a sausage store. My mom worked at a dentist office. My dad was studied to be a lawyer and then ended up taking after his father's business. I think that the first person that introduced me to something artistic was actually my biggest sister, who wanted to write. And I used to see her write. And she wrote stories. I mean, she wrote very, very sad love songs. Mm-hmm. And I copied her songs and lied and said they were mine. That was my first art.
That's all art, isn't it? Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, in my family, nobody had made a living like I make a living. But I knew about a great-great-grandfather on my mum's side who was profoundly deaf. But he was a painter, a portrait painter, and the local tattoo artist as well.
You are so cool. I always tell my dad once, I was visiting in Israel, and I was sitting with my dad, and I said, you know, we don't have any good family stories. I mean, my dad is a very, very kind of colorful character, and he was a heavy, heavy drinker, alcoholic, and one of those people that are always an adventure, you know, to be with them, and something crazy always happens. So that was always great, but we never had any tradition or any stories. And he said, well, you don't know that your grandmother, and I never told you that, had a whorehouse back in Poland. And he said, I could tell you some crazy stories from that, you know? And he started telling me all these wonderful stories, and I got so excited. And by the end, it turned that it was all a joke, and he was just...
He just made up an interesting family history for you.
Yeah, and I was so angry I was angry that he didn't allow me to believe in it, because it was such a great whorehouse in Poland with such lovely characters, and it turned out it was all a story.
I think it's time for another record. Have you chosen another record for us, Alman?
Okay, so this is a song that I actually, a friend of mine who I became friends with because I made a music video for him, his name is Jack Pagnati, and he is British. And last time I saw him, he played me a beautiful record called Dreaming. And it's like Dreamin' Wild. It's like, you know, Dreamin' apostrophe. It's like these two kids that when they were, I think, 17 and 19, they're two brothers, Donnie and Joe Emerson. And they recorded this, just one of the most perfect records that anybody would want to record, and recorded it in their house and never ever did another record. And now this label called Light in the Attic from Seattle just decided to reissue it on vinyl, and you can get it. And you have to listen to this album, and this song is called Baby.
Ooh. Yes, oh baby. Yes, oh baby. Yes, oh baby. Sandy Beach was making love as the tide goes in on us. It's so good walking side by side. Wanna be with you all my life. Whoa, baby. Yes, oh baby. Yes, oh baby. Yes, oh baby. Dreams of you all the time. Ooh, it's so good when we're together. Just can't wait until tomorrow night. Ooh, hey baby, let's shake it. Oh hey baby. Hey hey baby. Yes oh baby. Yes oh baby. Yes, 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 oh baby.
Space belongs to Mark Radcliffe and Stuart McConey.
We were doing a bit of research on Ned Sausage Roll.
Well, he says he's what, head of aeronautics?
Richard Branson's space trips company, yeah, thing. So if you fancy booking with him, it's...
How much is it?
A million for six.
It's a million for six of you? That doesn't seem very expensive. I'm working this out a bit like you do with people in a taxi. So I'm going into space next week. Well, if we get six of us, it works out as cheap as getting the train, doesn't
it? What about
it?
If you split the bill with your calculator, say, yeah. I didn't have a start.
Tell you what, Mark, we'll get it, because you're going to Pluto, aren't you? So you can drop me and Lizzie off, we'll give you Tenno.
Radcliffe and McConey.
Space taxi.
I think I'll stick with NASA.
Radcliffe and McConey. Weekday afternoons from 1 on BBC Radio 6 Music.
Guy Garvey on 6.
A circumpolar star, if ever I saw one.
So I'm with my fourth guest in the chain. The last video you did was the last video you did the Sigur Rós tune that you...
Oh, yeah.
Alma made a really beautiful video for Fugo Piano by Sigur Rós. They had a project whereby they chose 12 different directors, I think, and gave them complete artistic license to interpret their songs however they wanted. The narrative in your film, it involves an awful lot of very beautiful movement. It's quite edgy as well. Tell me if I'm wrong, but the narrative seems to be about cyclical violent conflict within a loving relationship. It seems to be about that. And I saw a different... Now, do you call him Shia or Shia LaBeouf?
Shia.
Shia. Shia LaBeouf is in it. If you know this guy, I mean, you know what my pop culture knowledge is like. There's huge holes in it. I only know him as the kid from the Transformer movies. And I saw an entirely different side of him. Is he a trained sort of physical theatre artist?
No, it was the first time he ever danced.
It's amazing.
I know.
He's the fluidity of the movement between him and the girl who's the other protagonist. Yeah.
Dina Thompson. I know. It was just one of those things. You hope that they will happen, and they happen.
Well, I read that you ended up working with him because he's a fan of yours, and he got in touch to say, "I think you're great."
He went to Amoeba Records.
Uh-huh. In Los
Angeles. I met Zach. Yeah. You're like, just keep connecting the dots, guy. I mean, it's just this whole trip of yours. What's going to happen? It's one Paul Auster.
Well, thing. I'm going to run into Paul Auster as I leave your apartment building, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, he's actually the person I was going to offer you to interview next.
Really?
No. But it would have been so appropriate.
That's your dad's side of the family.
We should just make that happen.
Yeah, but, you're right.
But yeah, he went to Amoeba, and I guess he randomly bought my movie, and then contacted me on my website. I got home and there was an email from him, and I was positive it's a joke. And I just said, is this a joke? And it ended up not being one. So
that's
was
great.
Really cool.
That's really great.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful video. And I really liked, because I'm sort of watching it and the narrative is clear as what's happening. And if you've ever been in a relationship where love isn't enough, then you'll see it ringing really, really true from that video. It's something from very deep in your heart. And also when watching... Like I say, the kid from the Transformer movies, watching him involved in this very physical, very emotional performance, I think that's going to change his fortunes, you know, because he looks born to that kind of acting. He really does.
He is, I think, born to do all that stuff. And I think that he is on full track to do that. He did a Lars von Trier film now. So he's, and he did a beautiful film that came out called Lawless. Where he's in, and he's just doing so much good work. I think he has filmed two or three more films already, and they're all in that vein of very brave performances. He's, I think, right now getting ready for his next film. So he's just really had, I think, his share of
franchise movies,
and now he's very young. He's 26, and he's just kind of.
I hate him.
Discovering himself as an actor in many ways. It's such a trip to watch it.
God, I remember 26.
You want to be 26?
I remember being 26.
Oh, you remember being 26?
Alma Harrell, you're an absolute angel. What a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Please keep making your work, and thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me. Good night, good morning, what is it?
Good night.
Good night. Sweet dream. Chalomot Paz. That means dreams of gold in Hebrew. Oh. Thank you.
Sigur Rós and Fioga Piano. That was the final choice of my guest this week, Alma Harrell. Can't believe she gave us an interview in a back brace and a neck brace. Three crushed vertebrae. Speedy recovery to you, wonderful lady. Her film Bombay Beach is available for you to go and rent or buy. It's a brilliant docudrama, very, very different stylistically than anything you've ever seen. Or you can check out her videos online for Sigur Rós and for, of course, Beirut as well. This next tune is also in Bombay Beach, her film. It's Bob Dylan and Tomorrow Is a Long Time. And I'll listen to this one if I'm forced to be away from my true love. I love this tune.
If today was not a crooked highway, if tonight was not a crooked trail, if tomorrow wasn't such a long time, then lonesome would mean nothing to you at all. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could hear her heart softly pounding. Yes, and only if she was lying by me, and I'd lie in my bed once again. I can't see my reflection in the water. I can't speak the sounds to show no pain. I can't hear the echo of my footsteps, I'll remember the sounds of my own name. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, and if I could only hear her heart softly pounding. Yes, and only if she was lying by me, and I'd lie in my bed once again. There's beauty in that silver singing river. There's beauty in that rainbow in the sky. But none of these and nothing else can touch the beauty that I remember in my true love's eyes. Isn't only if my own true love was waiting, if I could only hear her heart is softly pounding. Yes, and only if she was lying by me, and I'd lie in my bed once again.
Thank goodness for hydrostatic equilibrium.
Oh, and Guy Garvey's Finest Hour on Six Music.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you.
You rascal you.
I'll be glad when you're in your grave, you dog.
Dirty dog.
When you're dead and in your grave, no more ravioli will you crave. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you.
You rascal you.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you.
You rascal you.
I'll be glad when you're in your grave, you dog.
Dirty dog.
I invite you to my house for a meal, all my meatballs you try to steal. You're a dirty dog.
You're dirty dog.
I will be glad when you're dead, you rascal you.
You rascal you.
I'll be glad when you're in your grave, you dog.
Dirty dog.
I'll be standing on a corner plastered when they bring your body by. You're a devil, yeah.
Hey.
wishing death on someone for stealing his Italian food produce. That's Louis Prima. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you. It seems a bit excessive, doesn't it? Death for meatball theft. Or do you think it's a metaphor for something else? This next tune by Fleetwood Mac has been made famous again in recent years through food commercials. I think we should refocus on it like we've never focused on it before, or like we focused on it the very first time we heard it. Turn it up and picture what very little is being done here to make such a lush, beautiful sound. Ladies and gentlemen, Albatross. Amazing. Some very, very delicate, beautiful guitar work there. Fleetwood Mac and Albatross. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's not genius, does it? This next tune from PJ Harvey, you've got to listen to the drums. Here you've got an 808 drum machine with live drums over the top, but listen to the drum pattern. Try and play along if you're of that persuasion. If you're of the drum persuasion. If you're of the percussion persuasion. See what I did there? That's why they pay me the big bucks. PJ Harvey and The Garden.
And he was walking in the garden. And he was walking in the night. And he was singing a sad love song. For his life, and the stars came out around him. He was thinking of his sins, and he's looking at his songbird, and he's looking at his wings. There inside the garden came another with his lips. So won't you come and be my lover? Let me give you a little kiss. And he came, knelt down before him and fell upon his knees. I will give you golden mountains if you stay away.
PJ Harvey and The Garden. My good friend Marius De Vries, who Elbow've worked with a couple of times and who I'm working with at the moment on King Kong the Musical, which is very exciting. Marius was something to do with that record. I think he might have mixed it or produced it or something like that. But a wonderful man, wonderful record. PJ Harvey's The Garden. What we'll listen to next. Ah, I love this tune from Grizzly Bear. Exciting, dramatic, dynamic, as all their stuff is. Really dynamic band. It's from the album Vacati Mest and it's called Southern Point.
The southern point is calling us. Our haven on the southern point is calling us. And faced with all the obvious, so carry us. Avert your eyes from all of this, we'll make it all back. In the air.
Grizzly Bear and Southern Point.
Hello, I'm Mark Riley. Now, some people say I spend too much time listening to music for my programme.
Hello, Mark. It's Jim here from Django Django. Look, when am I going to catch up for this bike there and trying to get in touch with you for the past 6 months?
Well, I don't think that's true. You can never listen to too much music.
Hello, Mark. Barry here. Are you there?
I could be accused of being somewhat antisocial.
Hey, Mark. Stuart Stone, Elvis Bastion, name for me. You know, there's more to life than music. Golf.
Well, that's what you got to do if you want to find the next Django Django.
Hello, Mark. Barry here again. I'll try again next week.
I don't know. Why don't you just go for a drink with Lou Reed?
This is Mark Riley.
You can enjoy the fruits of my labour Monday to Thursday, 7 till 9 on BBC Radio 6 Music.
Guy Garvey's finest hour. Listening is doing your duty.
Just to remind you, I'm Guy Garvey here in New York for the finest hour. Hope you're enjoying the programme. I certainly am. When I was looking for that Fleetwood Mac tune in my computer earlier on, I came across this one by The Fleetwoods. They were an American singing trio from Olympia, Washington. And they were called The Fleetwoods because it was the name of their telephone exchange when they were at high school together. Bit boring, that, isn't it? One of them is called Gary Troxell. They had 11 hits or something like that, including 4 gold discs. And I went and looked on Gary Troxell's The Fleetwoods website, and he's selling his classic 1932 Ford Roadster, if anybody's interested.
Dum-dum, 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 dum-dum. Dum do dum do be do dum 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 do dum do be do dum
softly dum darling do be do dum softly 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 darling come to me stay.
So please hold me so tight all through the night.
I speak softly, darling, hear what I say. I love you always, always, always.
I've waited so long and your love, doo-doo-doo. Please come to me, from up above.
Come softly, darling, come softly, darling. Come,
I need you so much.
Come Softly to Me from the Fleetwoods. Perfect Sunday night music, isn't it? I know a lot of you listen Monday morning as well when you should be doing your work, and I love that. Never stop doing that. Wagging it with me. Do you know what I mean? I was put in mind of this tune when friends of mine were discussing Glastonbury this year. This is the Cave Singers. It's called Royal Lawns, and it's from their first album, The Cave Singers. And I heard them at Glastow. I was already into the band. I was already playing them on this very programme. But they played the Park Stage, which is where we usually camp near the Park Stage when we're at Glastonbury. And it was a beautiful, hot, sunny afternoon. And we all laid out in the grass and listened to them do a great set, including this song. This is called Royal Lawns, and it's an absolute beauty from the Cave Singers.
You got it.
Cave Singers and Royal Lawns. Can't wait for this year's festivals to begin. Sharon Van Etten is a resident of New York. Her album Tramp featured our good friend Zach from Beirut. And of course she's been in my mind because of that since I met him. This tune's called All I Can. I'm not sure he had any involvement with this. He may well have done. But yeah, this is Sharon Van Etten and All I Can. All I Can by Sharon Van Etten from... Van Etten? Sharon Van Etten, even. I love her voice. It's very honest, isn't it? This next tune by Prince and the Revolution from the album Around the World in a Day, I don't know if... It's so intricately woven into the very fibre of my being that I really can't tell if it's any good or not. I know I love it, and I know that I find it magical, and I know that I find it really touching. And for one reason or another, it makes me think about my mum. I think my mum must love this one as well. But I know my sister Gina loves it. So, yeah, it's so mingled up with nice memories of childhood that I really don't know if it's any good or not. Answers on a postcard, please. Here is Condition of the Heart.
Thank you. seems just like Clara Bow. How was I to know that she would wear the same cologne as you and you, the same good that you do?
Prince and the Revolution from Around the World in a Day. That was Condition of the Heart. I mean, I know it's very over the top, that song, but that's Prince's thing, isn't it, over the top? I think it's absolutely wonderful.
This is what happens then, Monday to Thursday, 9 till midnight here on BBC Radio 6 Music.
Gideon Cow.
We play all manner of sessions, including Peel sessions and concerts from the music archive. And in addition to that, we play lots and lots of other records. That could include Four Brothers, The Clash, Felt, The Fall, Go Between, Aphex Twin, William Welch, Williams, Tom Waits, Cravats, Dexys, Godspeed You Black Emperor, Can, Bogshed, Tim Beefheart, Upsetters, Bundu Boys, Viv Stanshall, Wilco, Mickey New, Muddy Waters, Smith, Crass, Bill Wells and Adrian Moffat, Serge Gainsbourg, Walker. I could go on, and the best bits in between are provided by the Six Music listeners, and that's it.
Gideon Cow, Monday to Thursday nights from 9.
BBC Radio
6
Music.
He's a space nut, you know.
This next tune is by Laura Veers. I spoke to Laura a long time ago, about her song To the Country, which is a beauty that I heard on Gideon Cow's show here on the wonderful Six Music. This is called Sun is King. It's got a real lovely, plaintive, laid-back thing. I know it's been snowing for you guys in England. It's been snowing here in New York as well, but not to the extent that it has at home. I've heard all about that. Let's hope that the sun makes its way to you soon, eh? Here is Laura Veers with Sun is King. Come on, spring.
With a serpent
AA. Laura Veers and Sonny's King, wishing you lot a speedy spring over there in the UK. I'm in New York for another couple of weeks and I shall continue making this programme for you while I'm out here. Loving it. But it is nice when my sister sends me a postcard from home. Dear Guy, writes B, my sister, Berry is overrun with sugar-fueled children today, and shop windows are filled with foil-covered eggs, plastic daffodils, and demented-looking bunnies and chicks. It can only mean that Easter has arrived. At St. Bernadette's, the littlins in nursery have had an Easter bonnet parade while the whole school has raised money for Caritas and CAFOD, with a sponsored sing-along that lasted 45 minutes and featured everything from Lord of the Dance to Take That. Now kids have a whole fortnight off school and there's a huge range of activities available to exasperated parents, from artist-led workshops at Whitworth Art Gallery to the more provincial delights of Wind in the Willows at the Derby Hall. But as the air around Bolton Street is filled with the chug of exhaust fumes and the smell of real ale, it's clear that the grown-ups are having fun at the East Lancs Railway Classic Motorbike Rally. I'm not even going to try to explain the logic behind that one. As you probably know, the weather here is unseasonably cold for Easter, but the combination of a bank holiday and snow puts me in mind of a matinee musical on BBC Two with Howard Keel sporting a big ginger beard. Know what I mean? Happy Easter, Chuck. Lots of love, B. Oh, I do know what you mean, and I quite often channel Howard Keel when my beard's long enough.
I'm a lonesome poor cat, lonesome, sad and blue, 'cause I ain't got no feminine poor cat bowing to be true. Can't make no vows to a herder.
man can't sleep when he sleeps with sheep. Honestly, that was the lyric. That was Lonesome Polecat from Howard Keel and the cast of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Beautiful, and thanks to my sister Beef for that wonderful postcard from home. Another one next week. This next tune's from Damien Girardo. It's called Last Rites, and it was a Song for Guy recommendation some time ago from David Miller. I haven't forgotten you, David. Thank you so much for introducing me to this.
I'm not a bird, you're catching and release. Your last phone call, some last ride home. I'm playing for keeps, the characters are real, so don't. I'll change my tune if it matters to you. God forbid that you listen to the voice of a man not with it. March 16th, the sorry is for you. Send it back if you don't want it. Like a noise that you hear on return. It's easy to land but harder to fall. You're broken on the man.
A little change of tone now is Fats Waller with When Somebody Thinks You're Wonderful. Fats, we all did and do.
Mm-hmm. harder thing. You're wonderful. What a difference in your day. Seems as though your troubles disappear like a feather in your way. When somebody thinks you're wonderful, tells you with a smile so sweet, what are little stones you're stepping on? Just a meadow neath your feet. And how you meet the morning, you gaily swing along. At night you may be weary, but your heart still sings a song. When somebody thinks you're wonderful, love is mighty close to you. Just another thing more wonderful, making all your dreams come true. Oh, somebody done told you it's wonderful, huh? Difference in the day, I see that now. All the troubles done disappeared. Ha ha. You got feathers in your way now, huh?
This next one's from Califone, it's called The Orchids, and I was put in mind of it by talking about the Cave Singers early on, but it's a beautiful rambling thing, it just feels very direct and from the heart.
When all the numbers swim together and all the shadows settle, doors forced open, shut again. Flytrap and a pedal. My eyes burn and claws rush in to fill them. And in the morning after the night, I fall in love with the light. It is so clear I realize I'm here at last. I have my figures sound a dream. The soft skin starts to shrivel. When dreams made real become less sweet, the orchid and the metal. My sex turns and claws rush in to spill them. And in the morning after the night, I fall in love with the light. It is so pure I can't arrive without the fear of seeing my eyes. Characters full size and every moon is level. When all the spirits burn in lies, I send a grief by steel. My eyes burn and claws rush in to fill them. But in the morning after the night, I fall in love with the light. It is so clear I realize, and now at last I have my morning after night, I fall in love with the light.
Wonderful. That's all we have time for another week. Thank you very much to everybody back at Media City Salford who's helping me make the show while I'm here in New York. Thanks, of course, to my very special guest, Alma Harrell. Thanks to my sister B for her postcards from home. And thanks to you lot for keeping in touch on Twitter as well. I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow, and it just remains for me to say to you... Happy New Week. Night, Mum.
From 2 a.m.
The introducing mixtape.
Right now,
it's Don Letts.
Respecting every aspect of the man called Guy Garvey for another excellent show. But right now, I want you to hold tight because it's round about midnight and this crowd of people is your weekly dose of Culture Clash Radio. For the next 2 hours, I'll be crossing time, space and genres with a two-part act that'll include in the first Child of Love, Ramon Judah and Conscious Sounds, Johnny Marr, Anushka, Atoms for Peace, Luscious Jackson, Wild Bill and Benny Hill. In the second, we kick back, but until we get to that, control this. Paddy Roberts, the big DJ.
I once wrote a poem about disc jockeys. It was published in a little book of verse called Tin Pan Alley. You can get it for $5. Now here's a little song about them. To my friends in the business, I would only say, if the cap fits... I'm a disc jockey, remarkably cocky, with every good reason to be. And I'll say it, though maybe I oughtn't, I'm really most frightfully important. All the teenagers, though simply outrageous, believe every word that I say. I get the new records as soon as they're in, then pick out the ones that create the most din, and the fools go and buy everything that I spin. I'm the big DJ, the big DJ. I'm a disc jockey, and aren't people lucky to have such a fellow as me? I could sell them the simplest arpeggio by plugging it over the radio. Ouch! Though my fans bore me, they simply adore me and hang on each word that I say. They sit there enraptured when I'm on the air, then write in and ask for a lock of my hair. It's part of the cross I'm committed to bear. I'm the big DJ, the big DJ. The publishers greet me with counterfeit glee. They fawn at my feet for a favor from me. That's why all my whining and dining is free. I'm the big DJ, the big